Would you like to write code faster and smarter with rich code completion and clever code analysis? Find anything in a solution instantly? What if you could easily explore and run tests, work with Git, Mercurial, or TFS seamlessly, and refactor in a few clicks? All this and more is available in JetBrains Writer, a .NET IDE for Windows, Mac, and Linux. Try it free for 30 days. Get Writer today at RIDERIDE.net. That's RIDERIDE.net.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. I'm talking with Saran Yedbarnik about Codeland. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm lovely. So we have to be honest and ethical here.
Okay.
We are friends, and I am speaking at Codeland.
Yes, you are.
I am speaking at Codeland because it is a joy, and I don't mean to lie. I go to a lot of conferences. I think it is probably the only conference that I have like cried at in a good way, like in a positive, sweet, amazing way.
Yeah. That's my goal, is just to make you cry.
Is that the goal?
That's the goal.
Is put on a conference, all this planning, and then Hanselman cries at the end.
And that's how you win.
The last Codeland I went to, I think, was 2 years ago. I missed last year. I was scheduling didn't work out, I think, with Build. And after the conference, I walk out the door into the hallway, and the conference organizers were all in a line applauding the attendees.
Yes.
And then, like, the waterworks started.
You know, that wasn't planned, by the way.
You're kidding.
That was completely spontaneous, yeah. The volunteers just did that on their own.
That's amazing. Is that a thing now? Is that a thing?
Now it's a thing. Now we have to do it. We have to applaud people as they exit, yeah.
Why are you applauding people? What is the point of Codeland?
The point of Codeland is to celebrate the wonderful world of code. I feel like so often when we go to technical conferences, they are all about the tools, the rock stars, the reason why we're all there is to celebrate the tools. And I think especially for our community, we are interested in the tools in the context of the solutions the problems that they solve, the solutions they come with. And so we want to know, how does code affect health? How does code affect art? How does it affect the way that we move transportation? How does it affect the real world? And so for us, coding is really the tool. It's the means to an end. And we want to give a space to celebrate the wonderful things you can do with code. So that's what Codeland's all about.
Hmm. Do you think it's a squishy conference? Like there are people out there, let's call them naysayers, but let's just maybe say that there are like the technical conferences where people with PhDs talk about PhD things, and there are feelings conferences. But this doesn't feel, I mean, I'm in my feelings at Codeland, but there's a lot of hard technical stuff here. Is it a squishy conference?
Not really. We do have at least one or two talks that are a little bit more non-technical. So for example, this year, we're going to have one called Med to Dev, meaning like medical school to dev, My Journey Through Depression, which is very much like a very emotional, very, very deep talk. We're going to have trigger warnings for that talk. It goes into some pretty dark places. But that is probably one of the few, I want to say maybe even the only non-technical talk. Everything else is very much rooted in the technology and in the code itself. But again, it's the code in the pursuit of some other purpose. So we have one, for example, that's called Art Meets Algorithms, talking about all the beautiful art you can create and all the art you can recreate using algorithms. We have another one that I love called Laughter is the Most Serious Weapon, which is all about this joke app where it says, you know how there's the difference in pay between, you know, people of color and white people and men and women, and there's all these pay disparities, right? This app allows you to go out to dinner and split the bill based on those disparities. And it is a really deep, funny way of talking about something very, very real. But again, it's rooted in technology. There is an actual app that does this. So we try to combine the non-technical stuff, but also root it in technology as much as possible.
Mm. How do you find people? Are you curating? Are people putting in CFPs? Are you calling them, or a little of both?
It's a little bit of both. So this year, it's about half and half. Half of the folks are invited speakers. I find them, some of them are friends, some of them are people just from my network. A good number are folks that I've seen or met at other events, other conferences. So the last one I mentioned, Laughter is the Most Serious Weapon. I saw her give this talk, I think it was 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. And that talk just stuck with me. And I said to myself, if I ever do a conference, she has to speak at it. And so I found her, I hunted her down, and now she's going to be able to give that talk at the conference. But we do have the CFP as well. So the other half are folks who I've frankly never heard of before, but have some really great things to say.
Mm-hmm. One of the things also you're becoming known for, and I've heard this because I've experienced it, but I've also heard it from other speakers, is the amount of prep. A lot of times, I think conferences, they see a good talk, they call the person, they say, hey, come to my conference. Mm-hmm. They send them a coach airfare ticket and set them up at the Holiday Inn. And they don't really talk to that person again for six months. That person shows up, does the talk is good or bad or adequate, and then the person leaves. You spend no disrespect, an inordinate amount of time with the speakers.
Yes.
What are you doing with the speakers?
So we have generally three meetings. So the first one is the talk outline. That is to review the overall structure of the talk, make sure it has some good meat on its bones, make sure that it's well thought out and the pieces fall together. There's a nice cohesive story, a nice narrative throughout the whole thing. So that's the first meeting. The second meeting is really focusing on the slides. So how does that talk outline translate to the slides? Are there, images? Or is there text? Is there too much? Usually there's too much text. That's usually the problem. Do the slides work really well together? What does the design look like? And then the last meeting is the rehearsal. So putting all that together, they'll do a run through of the talk from top to bottom, and then I'll give them notes and feedback on that. So usually it takes about, maybe a couple hours per speaker to do all those meetings, but it's totally worth it. It's interesting. When I first decided that I wanted to do speaker coaching, I was really worried that people would think of it as homework, as an assignment they had to do, and that they'd be kind of annoyed that they had to do this thing. But they've actually seen it as a benefit, as a perk, as a way for them to really focus on their talk, to get feedback. That's the thing. A lot of speakers, we never get a chance to know how to improve. We never get that honest feedback from folks to see how we're doing. And this has ended up being a really cool way for them to do that.
Have you had any fancy speakers, the Scott Hanselmans of the world that just like, well, I don't want your feedback. I'm a professional speaker. I speak all the time. Like, don't give me feedback.
No, I haven't. People have been very accommodating. So to give you an example, Jen Simmons is a very big deal. She does a lot of stuff with CSS. And I was worried that she kind of looked at me like, I've won awards for speaking. Like, who do you think you are? But she and I had a great adventure kind of crafting her talk and me giving her feedback. And I think what prevents the diva-ness from coming out for different speakers is the fact that at the end of the day, I know my audience and they don't. Right. So even if you have a really great talk, even if you have something that you're sure is going to work, you don't necessarily know that it's going to work for our audience. So either way, it's valuable to have my input just to say, hey, this is a newbie audience. Here are the things that we care about. Here are the things that might be confusing, and just to make sure that it fits with our community.
That's a really good reminder. Like, I was thinking, my first reaction was like I would be uncomfortable giving that feedback. I was like, who am I? Like, other than the conference organizer, which is a big deal. Like, but it the fact that it is your audience. And I think that's really important. I always recommend when I'm teaching how to present that people localize their talks. And people have said, well, you mean like in foreign languages? I'm like, well, no, like literally localized down to the audience, like down. It's not just shouting out like, good morning, Philadelphia, at the beginning of the talk, like really localizing.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I always ask when I'm the one speaking is I say, who is your audience? What are they like? How technical are they? What is their background? And that really helps me modify. Even if I'm giving the same talk a few times, it helps me modify what I'm saying to really make sure I'm catering to the right audience.
Yeah, I did a talk a while back, many, many years ago, and there was a poster in a movie poster. And I can't remember what it was, but it was something like, Step Brothers or something with Will Ferrell and Will Ferrell and another guy or something like that. And it landed well in Chicago. So I think I went elsewhere. Maybe I was in another country. Like, let's say I'm in Poland. I'm just making this up. And then I happened to run through the talk ahead of time with the conference organizers. And they're like, oh, who's that? It's Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
know. So then I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to cut that whole bit. This is actually 10 or 15 years ago. And the person said, well, no, tell me about them. So I explained the whole plot of like stepbrothers or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, oh, so these two funny guys and they're brothers, but they're not brothers. Da, 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 da. And they said, oh, yeah, like, you know, Olaf and Frank or whatever. I just made that up.
Yeah.
These two Polish guys. And I was like, okay, hang on. It's two funny guys. They're on TV. They're silly. They hang out together. And then it turns out like those are archetypes. They're tropes, right?
Yeah.
So then they gave me the equivalent people, the equivalent movie posters. I think they ended up being talk show hosts or something like that. And then I did the exact same joke except with those two people. And that's now many, many years later become a best practice for, you know, like I get into the city. What's the feeling of the city? What's the, what do people care about here? What's the political environment? What's the third rail? What do I not want to talk about? So Codeland is code newbies, new developers. Are there senior people coming or welcome?
We do have a good chunk of folks who are more senior. So we have folks, last time we did the survey, we had about a third, and another third, where we had a third of folks who were kind of pre-boot camp, trying to figure out what exactly they wanted to learn, trying to figure out what learning to code even really meant, and saw Codeland as a great way to explore and kind of double down on their exploring journey. And then we had another third of folks who were either in the middle of boot camp or seriously invested in their education already. Maybe they're looking for that first developer job. And then we had another third of folks who were a little bit more senior, had at least 1 or 2 years under their belt of professional development experience, and just really love the community and love the idea of celebrating code. So we get a good mix of folks.
What conferences are not serving them though? Like I've gone to conferences, but I've been lucky that my company sends me.
Yes.
And I've gone to enough conferences where actually, I was at a conference a couple months ago, and I didn't even know the price of the conference. That's, you know, what a privilege that is, right?
Yeah.
So I look at it, and I'm like, holy crap, this is a $2,000 conference. I would never pay $2,000 of my own money unless there was, like, we were going to the moon. Like, I can't even imagine a scenario where I would do that. When did conferences become 2K, and how are you catering to an audience that can't afford 2K for a conference?
That is probably the biggest differentiator between us and technical other technical conferences is that we are super affordable. Tickets this year start at $99. They go up to $169. They include, you know, 3 meals. You get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We have an after party that we're doing where we're going to serve a full dinner. So it is one of the most affordable conferences that you'll ever go to that is also very, very high quality. As we mentioned, I work myself individually with every single one of our speakers, and we have, you know, tons of reviews. And the talks are just very, very thoroughly picked and vetted. So that is the biggest thing, is making sure it's financially accessible. The other thing that we do to make it financially accessible is scholarships. So one of the things that we've learned is that, you know, the ticket price is one thing, but even the ticket price, even at $99, is still too high for a lot of folks. So we have an opportunity to buy a $25 ticket if you qualify for the sponsorship, for the scholarship. And then we also have the opportunity to get your travel funded. So for a lot of folks, it's not actually the ticket price that is cost prohibitive. It is the hotel, the flight, the bus ticket, the train ticket. So we have a fund that allows us to both give discounted tickets, but then also provide travel.
So that gets to the concept of inclusion, because this is the whole point of this podcast and the whole point of Codeland is how do you build a conference that includes everyone.
Yes.
And it's so easy to forget, well, my company is paying for the hotel or or a bus ticket. I mean, $50. Who doesn't have $50? Well, lots of people.
Yeah. That was the thing. When I was reviewing the opportunity scholarship applications, it was heartbreaking, frankly, reading a lot of stories of folks who said, you know, I have, you know, barely anything in my account. I have maybe $100 left in my account this month. I'm trying to make ends meet. I'm, you know, dealing with a, you know, very serious or very serious health issue that, you know, prohibits me from working as much as I want to. I mean, just hearing all the stories of folks who are in tough situations, who still want to make the most of their career, who still want to move forward in this industry and still want to make something, really wants to challenge themselves and do something with their work. It's really inspiring. And, you know, it's really incredible to read all the stories.
Your code is powerful, and so are you. And when you consider the reach of your code, it's clear that to deliver quality code, you must also deliver secure code. So where can you start? A first step is educating yourself on basic secure coding principles and beginning to put these principles into practice every day. VeraCode's Secure Coding Toolkit is your go-to resource for all your secure coding needs. The benefits of the toolkit include learning best practices for secure coding, understanding how to secure your DevOps environments, and learning to combat the most common software vulnerabilities. Stay secure and download this valuable asset today at veracode.com/toolkit. That's veracode.com/toolkit. When putting together an inclusive conference or using these words inclusive, let's talk about the naysayers, right? Someone might say, well, inclusion is coded language for, you know, not old white folks or not old men or not this or not that. But when I was at Codeland, it really just felt like you just meant everyone. When you said inclusion, you're just like, let's think about who's being excluded and what can we do to make their lives better.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's exactly it. Like we love old white men. We love everyone. We really are trying to make sure that everyone feels like they have a seat at the table, that they have a seat, you know, waiting for them. And I think that when it comes to inclusion, we are all about making sure every part of our conference feels inclusive. So that might mean, you know, making sure we have, you know, different food preferences covered, making sure that we ask about food preferences. This year, we're very excited to announce that we have childcare. We have on-site childcare, complimentary on-site childcare that's available for parents. They can bring their kids. We have, even if you look at our speaker lineup, it's incredibly inclusive. We have people from different parts of the world that are coming to speak, different backgrounds. And so it is showcasing that idea of inclusion throughout every single part of the conference. It's not just marketing to different groups. It's not just partnering with specific organizations. It's showing and, you know, almost proving to people that you really mean what you say. And that shows just by looking at the conference website.
I noticed also that, and the thing that's great about inclusion in Codeland is that it's on every axis, like it's age, it's from other countries. I also noticed you've got speakers like Jen Simmons that have spoke professionally and like legendary speakers. And you've also got speakers that they're maybe their first or second time speaking.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you take a risk on someone? How do you pick someone who's maybe only given a talk or two at a user group and then put them on stage at Codeland?
Yeah. So I think there's two things. One, that's why the speaker coaching really is necessary and it's important because we want to make sure that the folks who haven't had a lot of chance to practice still feel prepared, that they're still ready, and still, you know, and feel, frankly, for themselves, feel very comfortable on that stage. So that speaker coaching opportunity is a way to kind of bring folks up and have them almost like compete, you know, at that level. But the second part of it is that's why it's not entirely CFP. So my logic, my reasoning for having half CFP, half invited is that even if the CFP folks are maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit new and maybe aren't as comfortable as they'd like to be, we definitely have the invited speakers who I know are going to crush it. And I know I feel very confident that they can do a really great job on stage. So we balance it out by having a mix of CFP and invited speakers.
Was it hard to nail this down to what do you have, 12 talks plus workshops?
It was really, really hard, especially the workshops are really, really tough. We had some really good ideas, some really amazing folks who applied. And it was tough because we, especially this year, we're doing a one-day conference. And so there just aren't that many slots. There isn't that much time. And even our talks are pretty quick. Like our talks are only 15 minutes, which is very short for a conference. Usually conference talks are at least 20 to 40 minutes. So even with that, you know, that limited time, it was really tough to cut it down to the folks that we have.
Wow, that's challenging. One other thing I noticed that I've never seen at a conference before is you call out the exhibit hall, like visit our sponsors, go to the exhibits as its own thing. Like you didn't make it a side effect, like, oh yeah, and in your copious spare time, stop by our sponsors. It's literally like there's all the workshops and the talks and multiple tracks, and then you've called out about, you know, 45 minutes, almost as if exhibit hall is its own talk.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Our sponsors are incredibly important. I mean, literally, you know, if you look at the finances, the ticket costs do not cover the cost of conference. The ticket prices don't even, like, not even at all. And that's very intentional because we want to make sure the tickets are very affordable and very accessible for folks. But what that means is that we are relying very, very heavily on sponsors to make sure that we can have a conference and we can make that sustainable. So our sponsors are super important to us. But the other thing is our sponsors are genuinely excited to be there. They're excited to meet folks. They want an opportunity to show what they're offering, whether that's a product, whether that's a job. A lot of folks come to recruit, you know, their first developers, junior developers, that sort of thing. And they're really excited. We have boot camps who are on site who want to share the resources that they have available. So the sponsors are like, they're good people. You know, they're good companies. They're folks who want to help, who want to be part of this community. So it makes total sense to give them an opportunity to do so.
Mm. I am really looking forward to this. I'm worried a little bit that we're going to end up turning this into a big, long half an hour advertisement for Codeland. But frankly, I don't feel too bad about that because I go to so many conferences. I'm very lucky that part of my job is going to attend conferences and stuff. To find one where I'm actually spending time listening to talks and not just hanging out in the hallway is also like really significant. They're so curated, the order of them. It's almost as if the day has a story arc that you're trying to tell us.
Yep. Yeah. You nailed it.
Did you plan that? Like are you sitting there like with a, I imagine that somewhere in Saran's apartment is like post-it notes, like, you know, then this one goes and that one goes. And how do people feel after they've exited this one? And what do we do to freshen them up after this? You know, like you said, there was an intense talk.
You nailed
and then, it. Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, not so much sticky notes. We have a spreadsheet, but yeah, that's exactly it. We started with, you know, what is a good warm-up talk? What's a good talk to kind of put you in a good mood, to get you excited, to get you, you know, in the right headspace to be open and accepting of other ideas? And so we're kicking it off with the laughter is the most serious weapon talk that I talked about earlier. And then we go into, okay, now how do we really go into something a little bit more serious, a little bit more, you know, really showing off the technology and getting in the weeds about the technical stuff, to kind of prime you to accept even more the technically challenging talks that we do have. And for that, we have a talk called Drone Aid by Pedro Cruz, who talks about how he created this drone that's able to spot people who are in unfortunate situations during a natural disaster. So it's basically like a rescue mission, but with drones. And so that's a great like talk that makes you go, holy crap, you can do that with technology. There's a single person who created this whole app and this whole system for rescuing people. You know, it really helps really drive home the power of technology and makes you even more excited to hear about the other talks and the other ideas that you're going to be presented with. And so from there, we move into, okay, now that we have a chunk of talks, what's the right balance, right? One of the things that I've noticed in going to conferences myself is, frankly, they can be exhausting. You know, it can be really tough to kind of sit through three hardcore technical talks back to back. So during the talk section, the idea is to go back and forth. What is something a little bit more serious? What's something a little bit lighter? What's something more personal? What's something that is more technical? So we try to have a nice blend of that so that you never feel fatigued. It's not too much cognitive overload for you. And then the ending, of course, is you. You're our closing speaker. You're going to give an amazing, amazing, very personal talk that I think will really help close and solidify all the different lessons and the different parts of the conference that gets them really excited about, wow, now that I've experienced all these different stories, I'm going to go home and I'm going to do something about it. And I think your talk is going to be the best way to end the conference.
I appreciate that. I'm trying to think of it as a lock note, right?
Yeah.
The keynote opens it and the lock note closes it.
Yeah.
And I hope I get it right because we haven't had our meeting yet for us to talk about how it will land. But my goal is, I'm imagining a bunch of newbies, a bunch of people who are finding their power. They're finding their power through code. And we're going to have talks on software. We're going to have talks on hardware. You've got talks on art and the intersection of hardware and software. And I want to talk about my community of diabetics that are DIY diabetes people. And I want people to go, oh my goodness, I had no idea that I could do that with Python and Node and Go and all these languages that I'm using to put databases on into, you know, into HTML. This is running in in someone's pocket and literally changing their life. And I hope that they leave empowered.
Exactly. Yeah. When we talk about what we want to accomplish with the conference, we want people to be, to feel empowered for sure. We want people to feel activated. We want them to think, now that the conference is over, I can't wait to get back to my computer. I can't wait to get back home so I can take all these lessons and these ideas and really implement them. So that's one of the biggest goals of the conference. And I'm very sure your talk is going to accomplish that.
Yeah, that feeling of like, I need, like, you want to stay at the conference, but at the same time, you also want to run away because you could go, I can go and do something with this right now.
Yep, exactly.
Want to rush back to your desk and figure out how I can implement this.
Yep, absolutely.
How do I not overwhelm them though? Like, I feel like there's so much when you're like, you've built the entire Code Newbies community. You have multiple podcasts. You talk about building communities. Make sure, by the way, to check out codenewbie.org and the Base CS podcast, the Code Newbie podcast. But when someone's getting started, and I'm struggling with this with my sons, I struggle with this when I teach software, how do I not crush them with the overwhelming stuff that they can do? Like, there's so much that you can learn. Like, what's the balance between power and just overwhelmed?
I think the key is to root everything in a story and in a problem. So for your diabetes talk that you're going to do, it comes from a personal problem that you had, right? It comes from your story, and it was you building a solution for yourself. And so I think with learning how to code, it's important to remember, why am I learning? What is the solution that I'm going for? What's the problem that I'm trying to solve? And I think the more we can remember that and we can tie it back to that, the less overwhelming it feels. There's this really great study that talks about the difference between people who finish a computer science degree and people who start one and don't finish one. And the study found that the biggest difference is that the people who finish the degree have a higher tolerance for basically confusion, for things not really making sense. And they have the ability to kind of stomach that and push through regardless. And so for me, I am not good at stomaching that. If things don't make sense, I get very, very irritated and very frustrated. And I frankly want to run away. And so for me, remembering that story, remembering the reason why I'm doing this, and I don't mean like to make more money. What I mean is, if I'm learning, in your example, if I'm doing the diabetes DIY, solution, because I'm suffering from this and I need a solution for myself, that is a really great motivator that allows me to push forward and to be inspired and is able to give me the strength to keep going even when I want to quit.
I think that's a really good point. I think we do forget the why. We stare at the code. We stare at the syntax error. Last night, I was up at 2 a.m. trying to fix a bug, and I ended up just saying, literally, there's nothing more I can do than sleep. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those things where I think I was probably operating at 20% optimal.
Yeah.
So I could have stayed up from 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. and hurt myself and solved the bug. But I just went to bed. I just said, forget it. I went to bed and I'll probably solve it in an hour when I get off the phone with you. But it was the remembering, why am I doing this in the first place? What is the point of the thing that we're building that was so important?
Yes, exactly. That context is everything.
Yeah. So people can sign up at codelandconf.com. Mm-hmm. I think that this podcast is going to come out on the 6th of June. What will the prices be? And are there early bird pricing, and the price is going to go up?
Yes. So right now we are in our regular ticket session, I guess, ticket registration. So tickets are from $99 to $169. And then on June 23rd, they're going to jump up. They're going to increase. And so, yeah, if you are interested in going to the conference, I highly suggest you get a ticket before then. And I hope to see you there.
What is the pay it forward ticket?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. So Pay It Forward is something I'm super excited about. It is an opportunity for folks to pay it forward, for folks who may not be going to the conference themselves, or maybe have a scheduling conflict, maybe aren't able to attend, but who want to give back and who want to participate in the community and in the conference. And so it allows them to pay for someone else who won't otherwise be able to afford the conference. So basically, it's a ticket donation to our opportunity scholarship. And I'm super excited. Actually, ChangeLog Media Group, they bought like 5 tickets. And so they're sponsoring 5 different folks to go to the conference. We've had some really good stories of individuals who bought, I think one person bought like 10 tickets just as a person, anonymously donated 10 tickets. And so it's a really great way for folks to give back and to support the community and to make the conference even more accessible.
And I assume that you would welcome people to do that. Like last year, I think you did 50 or 55 mm-hmm. pay it forward tickets. Certainly, if someone wanted to become kind of an ersatz de facto sponsor of CodeLand, they could go and buy 10 tickets and then tweet about it.
Absolutely. And we'll put your name on the website and we'll give you a nice shout out from the stage and say thank you so much for helping us make the conference even more inclusive.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me.
Thanks so much for having me on. This is great.
Folks can check out CodeLandConf.com if you're listening to this before July 22nd, which is when CodeLand is. It's in New York. It's powered by GitHub and produced by CodeNewbie. And if you're listening to this after 2019, I hope that you go and check out CodeLand 2040, whatever year in the future you're listening to this.
I like that.
And then also check out Code Newbie. It's just one of the best, most inclusive communities out there. I am not a code newbie, but I hang out with code newbies. They're just enthusiastic, fun people. There's a Twitter chat every Wednesday. You are just a wonderful podcaster, and I appreciate you so much, Saran.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all that. And I appreciate you hanging out with us. It means a lot to have people like you in our community supporting and mentoring. So thank you so much.
Absolutely, my pleasure. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.